Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all here. I just want to invite the children who are still left in the service, if you want to go out with Auntie Bronwyn to the children's holiday program, you're welcome to do that now as well. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and our focus for our passage this morning is on verse 42 to verse 47. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. Just a little brief context around our passage this morning. It's Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, and Peter has just given his famous Pentecost sermon, and he's come to an end of that sermon, and we're going to pick it up in verse 40. And with many other words, he, Peter, bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Don't brush over that. 3,000 souls were added to God's church that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Just so far this morning. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for those words that we have just sung. Your praise and glory will not fail throughout eternity. Thank you, Father, that you deserve all our praise and all the glory for who you are and for what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We know, Father, that your heart is for your people to declare that praise and glory. And we know and we have confidence that because you are working in our hearts, that praise and glory will not fail. And so we come before you this morning and we want to know more of your heart. We want to allow you to conform our hearts to your heart. And so won't you instruct us from your word this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I don't think there is a church today or has ever been who's experienced such incredible church growth as like this first century church in Jerusalem. A church who began the day of Pentecost with just a handful of believers and ended up that same day with a mega church. 3,000 people were added to their number that day. And that was not the end of it. For we carry on and read in verse 47 that every day people who were being saved were being added to this church. Let's do the maths just briefly to get a picture of what this means for this church. Just conservatively speaking, one person a day being added to this church, that means 7 persons a week, 28 persons a month, 336 people a year joining the Church of Christ in Jerusalem. That would be 2 more of what we have here already this morning. Can you imagine that? Every year having 2 extra services added on to our program, our Sunday worship programs, because God is adding one person a day to our number. That's incredible church growth. I'm sure you would agree with me. But we read, and we also know from our own theological understanding and from God's word, that it is the Lord who adds to his church those who are being saved. It's God's responsibility to do the work in people's hearts, to bring them to that point where they acknowledge God and his Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It also shows us God's heart for his church. God desires to add to his family, to his church. God loves working in people's hearts. God loves bringing people to that realization where they are desperately in need of him and they surrender their lives to him through faith in Jesus Christ. God wants his church to grow. God wants to add to his church daily those who are being saved. We read this throughout the scriptures as God has a passion for the nations. We read this particularly in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, that the Lord is patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's heart for the lost to be added to his church is clear. And it's also a heart that he expects and desires for his church to have as well. That's why we have the book of Acts in the scriptures for us. That's why we read in Acts chapter 1 that he gives us his spirit so that we would have the power to be able to be his witnesses in the world in which we live, so that we can testify to those around us the God we love and God we've come to cherish in our lives because of what he has done for us through his Son Jesus Christ. This church in Jerusalem obviously had God's heart for the lost. For God saw fit to want to add to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Which forces me to ask the question, what does it mean to have a heart that desires for God's church to grow? What does it mean to have a heart, the same heart that God has got for his church to grow today? I'm sure if we gave this some thought, we would come up with our own thoughts and reasons and maybe answers to that question. They must have had some great dynamic communicators of the good news of Jesus Christ, persuasive communicators. They must have had some relevant ways and authentic means of presenting the good news to their community. They must have had some incredible, powerful evangelistic tools and programs and ministries and events that people would easily just want to respond to the grace of God. They must have had a boldness and a courageous attitude to be those witnesses God wanted them to be in their communities. There must have been a church that appeals to everyone in terms of their diversity in age, diversity in culture, in race and class. Those might be reasons or answers we might give or might have been true for this church to grow so rapidly in these early days of the church. But what is interesting to me is that that is not one of the reasons Luke gives us for this church and what they did to have a heart after God's heart for his church to grow. In fact, sandwiched in between the two growth accounts of this church, the account in verse 41 and verse 47, we see here Luke give us a picture or a glimpse into this church's heart for people to come and to be added and to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to briefly show you that this morning. But firstly, let me say that those things that I've mentioned earlier, things like having community outreach programs, being relevant with our presentation of the good news, being inclusive in presenting that good news to all people and welcoming them into the family of God are all necessities, biblical necessities and important things that we ought to be considering and having within our family here at Durban North Baptist Church in order to grow our church. And so I'm not discounting them at all. But I want us to focus on this morning at what Luke saw that was primary, that was important to this church before they placed emphasis on those other things. Luke saw that this church who has a heart, God's heart, to grow his church, has a heart to grow firstly in their relationship with God. Luke saw that this church who has God's heart to grow his church has a heart to grow in their relationship with him. In other words, growing God's church is directly related to his church growing closer to him. We see this in what Luke describes for us as the heart of this church in verses 42 to verse 47, the passage we want to focus on in this morning. First of all, we see that they had a heart that wanted to grow in their knowing God. Verse 42 says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. When the Spirit of God entered into these new followers of Jesus, they had a hunger for spiritual truth. They had a hunger to know God. After all, the gift of God's Spirit was the Spirit of truth, Jesus kept reminding his disciples. Where the Spirit of truth enters our heart, there's an insatiable hunger and thirst to know God more and more. Jesus gave the apostles authority to proclaim this truth about his message of salvation. This authority was confirmed by many wonders and miraculous signs that the apostles did, which verse 43 tells us. But the church recognized that the apostles had this authoritative message from Jesus. And because they had the Spirit of truth within them, they greatly desired to know the truth that Jesus gave them, or God had given them, the authority to proclaim and to declare. We are fortunate today to have that authoritative message recorded in the pages of your Bible. The authoritative message Jesus gave his apostles to declare to the church of God about who God is, about what he wants us to know about himself and about his salvation and how we ought to respond to him. And this church, having the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of truth, they desire deeply in their hearts to grow in their knowledge of who Jesus is and what he expects of them as his church today. They desire that their faith and witness would be rested or founded upon the solid foundation of God's truth. That people would see God's truth in their lives. And so we know that every opportunity that the disciples taught, this church committed themselves to being there, to listening and to receiving God's truth that came through the apostles' message. There was this hunger, this thirsting to know God more and more. I guess they recognized that if they were going to have God's heart for his church, they needed to grow in their understanding of what God wanted for his church. And so a growing church grows in their knowledge of God. But Luke also tells us that they had a heart that wanted to grow in loving God's people. Verse 42 says they were devoted to fellowship. Verse 44 carries on and says all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were committed to fellowship. Now, New Testament fellowship means something a little bit different to hanging out together with friends around a braai and watching some rugby. New Testament fellowship, from the Greek word koinonia, was used by the Christians to describe what they had in common as believers together. John Stott, a great biblical scholar, says there is two parts to Christian fellowship: a sharing in what's common to us and a sharing out what's common to us. The sharing in, for instance, would be the salvation that we've come to know and trust in Jesus Christ. The sharing out would be that what is common amongst us in loving one another, loving our neighbors, loving our enemies. It's this part of sharing out what's common to us that Luke focuses in when he describes the heart of this church. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as they had need. This church had a heart to love and to care for God's people, to make a difference in the lives of those who were in need in their community. Let me say, I don't believe that these verses refer to Christians loving God's people by willingly putting themselves into abject poverty. But what I believe Luke is describing here is that these Christians were practicing a generous heart, God's generous heart towards his people. They had come to understand and experience the generous heart of God as they accepted his love and care for them in what Jesus Christ had done for them. And they wanted to grow in exercising that heart that God gave them through his Son. And so where they could and where they were able to, even if that involved sacrifice, they gave, they sold their possessions to help meet and to love and to care for those in their community, so that what God had blessed them with, they could use as a blessing to others, so that others in need would be blessed by God and drawn to himself. They had a heart to grow in their love towards their community because of the generosity of love that was shown to them by God in Jesus. And so this church was devoted to growing in their love for people. This church also was devoted to knowing God. But thirdly, Luke tells us they had a heart that wanted to grow in their dependence on God. They wanted to grow in their dependence on God. And we see this in verse 42. Again, it says they were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 46 and 47 tells us that day by day, again, daily, which has connection to God, adding to his church daily, they attended the temple together and broke bread in their homes, praising God and enjoying favor with all people. In order for them to grow in their dependence on God, they needed to be reminded of their need of God, first of all. There is no better place to be reminded of our total dependency on God, but other than at the foot of the cross. As rebellious people who were enemies of God, as the Bible describes for us, dead in our sins and transgressions, lost to God's kingdom, with no hope whatsoever, God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for us, to take that penalty which should have been rightly leashed out and poured out upon us. Christ took that upon himself and rose again so that we might have life the way God intended us to enjoy life. To be found once again to be part of his family, to be adopted once again as his sons and his daughters. The Bible speaks of our total dependency on God for this life, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still rebels of God, enemies of him, God acted on our behalf and sent his Son to bring us into relationship with him. Without God loving us, the unlovable, we would not have any hope of enjoying the life that he created us for. And so we are very much dependent on God for the life, the abundant life that he wants and he has created for us. Obviously, we can't physically and geographically find ourselves at the foot of Jesus' cross, but Jesus gave us a way in which we might remember what Christ did for us, our total dependency on Him. And that way is around the Lord's Supper, celebrating communion together, the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup of remembrance, pointing our thoughts and our directions again to the God who acted on our behalf when we could not act, when we did not want to act, so that we would be right with Him. This church had a heart for growing in their dependence on God, and they wanted to devote themselves to being reminded of their great need for God's work in their lives. And so they enjoyed the breaking of bread, remembering what Christ did for them day in and day out. In fact, in verse 46, it says that they even practiced this in their homes, to be reminded of their absolute dependency on God. But friends, it's one thing to be reminded of our dependency on God, but it's another thing to actually practice our dependency on God, isn't it? And so this church not only reminded themselves, but also devoted themselves to practice their dependency on God. And how did they do that? Through prayer. Through prayer. Daily, they spent time praying to God, exercising, training themselves, practicing their dependency on God. Prayer is God-given means for us to exercise our reliance on Him, to come before Him and in praise acknowledge our dependency on Him, and to rely on Him as we ask and request for His wisdom and power to be experienced in our lives daily, so that we might live the life He has saved us to and created us for. The church was devoted to exercising and training themselves in this way, in their dependency on God. They attended formal prayer meetings together, prayer meetings in the temple, where the church of God gathered together to pray to Him. In fact, in chapter 3, we read of a miracle that happened when Peter and John were attending daily the temple prayer services or prayer meetings. We read in verse 46 that they prayed daily in this way. And so there was a great commitment to corporate prayer, being together as the church, exercising our dependency on God to grow His church through His people. But there is also a great devotion to their personal prayer life. Daily they were devoted to praying in their devotional times, recognizing their need of God to help them and give them wisdom and direction to live the lives that He had saved them to. And so we can see this church had a great heart to be dependent on God. If we take those three key elements of this church which showed us their heart, growing in knowledge of God, growing in their love for God by loving His people, growing in dependency on God by exercising that through prayer, being reminded of that through the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup, does that not describe a people who have got a heart to be in relationship with God? Is that not what relationships are all about? Knowing one another better? Loving one another better? Being dependent on one another more and more each day? That's what relationships are all about. A healthy relationship depends on these three key elements. And so this church had a heart like God's heart for the lost. And Luke says it was seen in them having a heart to grow in their relationship with God through knowing God, through loving God, and depending on Him more and more. Friends, if we had to logically think about this morning, we would end up asking ourselves this question. Why would God not want to add to His church like this those who are being saved daily? Why would God not refer to those whom he was working in their hearts, this church, who had a heart to grow in their relationship with God? If God saves those in order for them to live in relationship with him, surely he would add to those that want to live in relationship with him, those who he was bringing into relationship with him. We here at Durban North Baptist Church desire, like God, to reach those in our community, those who do not yet know of Jesus' love for them yet. We have the vehicles in order to reach these people. We have an ATAP center, community center, offering our community opportunities to come and to be exposed to his church. We have a coffee corner that ministers out to the people of our community daily. We have ladies' ministries, men's ministries, youth ministries, children's ministries here at Durban North Baptist Church that we put up in order for us as a church to reach out to the lost, to those who do not know the love of Jesus yet. However, friends, if we are not growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we are not growing closer to God, through knowing God better, through loving his people better, through being dependent on him more and more, for not only our own spiritual well-being, but for his work in our community, those things will remain ineffective. Those things will remain ineffective. So we need to ask ourselves this morning as God's church, with a desire to reach our community, with a desire to make an impact for God here, do we have a heart to know God better? Do we have a heart to sit under the instruction of his word at every opportunity that he presents us to? Do we have a heart to love God by loving his people? Being committed to serving here in the church, available to being used at the community center, the coffee corner, the ladies' men's ministry, children's youth ministries, used by God in your families, in your business places. Are we, as a church, growing in our dependency on God? Being committed to being reminded of our need for God. Exercising that through prayer, both corporately and personally. You might think that I'm talking about the church as Durban North Baptist Church. But God's church is made up of individuals. And so before we look at one another, we need to look deeply at our own hearts and ask, God, am I really committed to your heart to grow your church? Because my heart is committed to knowing, loving, depending on you more and more. Friends, the growing church is a church that grows closer and closer towards God. Are we that church this morning? Let's pray together. Father, as we to spend these moments quietly examining our own hearts before you, just assessing where we are in our relationship with you, Lord, be gracious to us and help us to see where we can grow in our heart for you. Lord, help us not to receive this message this morning and just to put it on the shelf or the back burners of our life. Well, this is critically important. Not only to this church growing, Lord, but critically important to where we stand before you. And so, Spirit of Truth, we ask you this morning to convict our hearts, to direct our hearts, so that we would be individuals, we would be corporately a church that has a heart to know you more and more each day, to grow in our love for you and loving others, and to grow in our dependency on you for each and every day. We ask this again, Lord, so that your praise and your glory would not fail in our lives throughout eternity. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.